Once one of my friend said, I have stopped to ask the question who I am and started to ask the question who are we. What he meant to say is that in one and the same human being there is not just only one personality, but it seems that there are different aspects to our human personality. My friend said he had discovered that on one level he likes literature, on another level he is a very practical man, not at all theoretical. He likes gardening. And on yet another level, he is an adventurist. He is bored when everything goes the same way. He wants to discover new fields, make new experiences, and so on and so forth. In the Vedic scriptures, we find that the pure soul is covered with koshas or layers which account for these different personalities within one personality. There is the Anamaya kosha, which takes care that we are very basic and we want to eat. There is the Pranamaya kosha that we want, that takes care in our personality that we want to be active and experience something in life. And there is a vijnana or intellectual layer and other layers as well. Also, if all of us think that those who sit here have not just had the experience of one lifetime, there are many experiences of many lifetimes which are still stored within our subtle bodies. Once we were a prostitute, another time a poet, a murderer, and a father of, a loving father of three children, a dancer, a doctor, a pleasure seeker, an ascete. Many, many experiences are with us. And that accounts to the experience that we sometimes have many voices in us. Especially when we come to devotional service, these voices in us become active and begin to talk to us. There's a wonderful verse which will form the basis of this lecture. A verse by Madhavendra Puri, where these different voices which are within, which are coming up when someone takes to spiritual life are actually given a voice. If you listen to this verse, you will see different personalities coming up. Welcome, Dobro Došli. You have, oh pilgrims, you have reached the goal of your pilgrimage. You have come into the forest where the saints are sitting. Thank you for coming. It's a prayer actually. If we listen to this prayer, we first think that we find in this prayer different people who asked different doubts to our decision to become devotees. It seems that these are neighbors, relatives, friends who come into our life and who have recognized, oh, this person has become very determined in his spiritual life and who now voice a doubt. Is it right what you do? But as we listen a little bit deeper, we begin to understand that these are voices within our own heart who begin to doubt our decision that we have become devotees. We will go through some of these voices now, voices which seem to come from outside but who actually are inside of us. And we will hear Krishna conscious responses or answers to this. We will hope that as we come, as we delve into this, that all of our faith will increase in many ways, and that we will become more strong by this exercise. We will now listen to the voices of doubts which are within our hearts. Are you ready, Blake?
Dobro.
Muktam mam nigadantu nita nipuna brantum muhu vadaitika mandam bandava sanchaya jadadhyam muktadara sodara unmatam danino viveka chatura kamam mahadambikam moktum nakshamate manakapimano govindapadaspriham. Let the sharp moralist accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander and offend me and say, you are misled. My friends and my relatives may come and call me a frustrated person. I do not mind. Even my brothers may come up to me and call me a fool. No problem. The wealthy Mammonites may point me out as mad, and the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still my mind does not budge an inch from the determination to serve the lotus feet of my Govinda, although at this present moment I'm unable to do any good service. Different persons come up to the transcendentalist. Persons which live very much in himself. The moralist comes. You are an illusion. The expert in rituals says, you are misled. This is too simple. Friends and relatives may come and say, you only came to spiritual life because you are frustrated. You did not become successful in the material field. That's why you are here. And now it gets very painful. My brother with whom I have stayed so long will say, yeah, a fool, a fool, a fool. That's what you are. And others come, philosophers who say, you're too proud, you think you know everything. But the devotee expresses here, my mind is fixed at the lotus feet of Govinda. And although I may at the present moment be unable to render him any good service, my mind doesn't go. This is called a state in devotional service, where a devotee is called nishta, or fixed in his spiritual practice, and where no matter what comes from outside, he is he remains fixed. So I will now go with you through the different voices, and I hope to enlighten you. The first is the moralist. He says, you are really justifying all your actions by saying, what pleases Krishna pleases the whole world. But is this very good according to moral standards? An example is there in the Bhagavatam of a moralistic objection to Krishna consciousness. Yudhishthira comes one morning into the room where his uncle Dhritarashtra stayed with his wife. It's not a room, it's a big apartment in a palace. He comes because every morning he is accustomed to offer his respectful obeisances to Dhritarashtra, although Dhritarashtra's sons tried to kill him. Although Dhritarashtra was siding with his sons and was stealing away his rightful share of the kingdom, Yudhishthira comes as Dhammaraj, and he doesn't find Dhritarashtra, nor does he find his mother Kunti, nor does he find Gandharvika and Gandhari, yes, nor does he find another person, Vidura. Actually, Vidura is not yet in the picture, he comes later. Yudhishthira is worried, where's my uncle? He's so old, I mean. And he goes to his secretary, Dhritarashtra's secretary, Sanjaya, and asks, where is your master? Sanjaya cries and says, I don't know. I came in the morning and the quarters were empty, empty quarters. Yudhishthira is pained at heart. Has he somehow hurt his uncle so that overnight he ran away and is somewhere else, now helpless in the nature? This moment, Narada Muni says, it comes and Narada Muni explains to him, no, your uncle has gone to the forest. He has left the comfortable life because Vidura had preached to him and had told him, Dhritarashtra, you're living too much in your comfort zone. You cannot make any advancement like this. You live really in the house of the same people who have killed your sons, the Pandavas. You better go now into the forest and become free from your material attachments so that you can think of the ultimate goal of life. Yudhishthira says, oh no, my uncle at the last moment of life has renounced. And then there is a verse which I will quote to you. He says, Mushitosmi Mahatmabi, I have been cheated by those great persons. Now to cheat is not very moral. But Prabhupada explains, if a devotee cheats to obtain the lotus feet of Krishna, this cheating is transcendental dharma, or the law of righteousness. And he gives many examples. Sanatana Goswami gave a bribe. Bribe means bakshish. To the jail keeper in order to be released by him. He really bribed him until the jail keeper was so greedy that he couldn't resist and just cut the chains of Sanatana Goswami. Prabhupada gives another example of someone who cheated, in other words, acted by mundane standards immorally, in order to serve Krishna. It was Raghunathas Goswami, who told his family priest he would go to some place and preach to one of his god brothers who was in Maya, but really Raghunathas Goswami took this as a possibility to escape from home. And Prabhupada then says, we also, means he, Prabhupada, we also had the same opportunity to leave the family for the service of Srimad Bhagavatam. Such cheating was necessary for a great cause, and there is no loss for any party in such a transcendental fraud. See, by mundane standards, sometimes a devotee of Lord Krishna acts in ways which are not necessarily acceptable to the ordinary society and the ways in which society moves. But he does so because he knows, if I surrender my life to Lord Krishna and I come in contact with Krishna, in the contact with Krishna, I am so much purified and the situation is purified, so much so that everyone is benefited. A good example might be our Tanya, the daughter of our host today. Tanya said, when we planned this meeting, that most probably she would not be able to get free from her job for this afternoon and evening. And she felt distressed. And I advised Tanya, you tell your job people that it's a very important family gathering, because this is the language they understand. It's a family gathering where the family comes together for very important discussions about the future. It is not entirely a lie, but it is also not entirely correct. Who has? Because it invokes a certain picture in the boss's mind, in the which is not entirely true. When we say family gathering with important discussions for the future, we usually think of that the father is a little sick and he might die soon, and therefore he talks about his testament to his... we think such images come to our mind. But according to this understanding, according to one understanding, Tanya was not extremely moral today. Or yesterday, I don't know when she said it. But according to the transcendental knowledge, when you serve Krishna and do something for the service of Krishna, then this is allowed because you have not acted sinfully. You have acted for the service of Krishna and his devotees, and as a result, you are not to be accused. Sometimes maybe you have heard the moralist in your own heart saying, was it all right yet you left everything? I mean, this voice came in my mind. I was a Christian, and the moralist in me came, was it all right that you left Jesus Christ and took to Hinduism, Sachinandan? Maybe you were a little unethical and ungrateful. I had to deal with this moralist, and I said to this moralist, my little moralist inside, I'm serving the purpose of Jesus. I'm preaching spiritual things. They are the principles you can find in all the sacred scriptures of the world, including the Bible. I'm trying to
And I said to my moralist inside, one priest said, those who in earlier times became monks, now become Hare Krishnas. So I'm in good, I'm all right. Prabhupada once dealt with one Jewish mother the mother of Brahmananda. This mother always objected to the fact that two of her sons had taken initiation from Srila Prabhupada and now lived the lifestyle of a devotee. So once the mother came to complain, "You have stolen my sons from the working force." Prabhupada said, "No, I'm caring for your sons. I'm eating, I'm feeding them, and they're the big sons with big bellies you have. You should give me donations to feed your hungry sons." Prabhupada, you will soon see, had something very special in mind. So, you know, when you asked a Jewish mother for money, they will become very intelligent to avoid this. They are very good in accumulating money. So the mother said, "You want a donation to feed my sons? But I have given you already a donation. I have given my sons to you." Prabhupada went like, "Yoo-hee! Here you say you have given the donations to a son. You should be totally satisfied. Now you have given them away to me as a donation. you cannot complain any longer." So the Jewish mother just noticed that she had been tricked by a great soul. I want to come to another voice inside. "Friends and relatives may call me frustrated." Have you ever heard this objection? Have you maybe heard it in your own language from your own children? If you would just be a little bit more determined, if you would be just a little bit more skillful, but you are good for nothing, therefore you have joined this Hare Krishna movement. And this is an old objection to those who take to spiritual life. There was once in the Bhagavatam a Brahmana called the Avanti Brahmana. This Brahmana lived a very miserly life. He would not give anyone anything in his life. He was just so much trying to get money for himself. But by the laws of karma, it so happened that he lost everything. There was thievery in his house. I think there was a storm which took down the roof of his house. And this Brahmana overnight became so poor that all his relatives, including his wife, actually left him. So as a result of becoming so poor, he decided to sing a prayer. He said, he sang the prayer, "I will sing this a little later for you." He became a beggar, a nameless beggar. He began to go as a sannyasi to the houses of his previous enemies, and he said, "I'm very hungry, can you please give me something to eat?" And the people thought, "Oh no! He is so miserly, he doesn't want to spend his money any longer for eating, therefore he says he is very poor, but in actuality he is very rich," and they chased him away, they gave him so much trouble, One time he has had finally baked a good meal together. He was just about to eat it when some uncivilized person came and urinated on his plate so that he couldn't eat any longer. He would sometimes be bound, he would be beaten in his face. And then one day he sung his song. It was not a song of frustration. He said, some people may say, the bad planetary constellations are the source of my misfortune. Others may say, my previous friends and relatives are the cause of my misfortune. But I know that the only cause for suffering is the mind. So people continue to call him frustrated and miserly, but he did not pay any attention. He continued to serve Krishna. Sometimes even those who are close to us, the brothers, may call us a fool. There is a story about the brother of Ravana. Who of you does not know Ravana? Most of you know Ravana, a very influential demon. Ravana was owning a huge... actually, he had conquered the whole universe. He was very influential. And he had a brother who was a devotee of Lord Rama. You know, Ravana was stealing Mother Sita away from Lord Rama. And as a result, Hanuman, the dear servant of Ram, began to search Sita everywhere until he finally arrived in Lanka. It was night time when Hanuman arrived. He took a little form and began to search for Mother Sita in the palaces of the Rakshasas. He saw scenes which a brahmachari should not see. Everywhere drunken rakshasas enjoying physical pleasures with their harems. Finally he saw a Ravana with 10 heads on a big bed with 10 beautiful ladies, all naked. Hanuman thought, ah, what do I see? This is not a good scene for a brahmachari. But then he thought in his mind, follow my Lord Rama, I do everything. For the service of Rama, I'm ready to see even this ugly scenes of sense gratification. Anyways, a little later, after he could not find Sita, he went to another part of town, and in this other part of town, he actually, he saw one palace that was... He looked through the window and he saw pointed ears and fangs. I told this in Zagreb. He saw a demon. But this, so he looked at the demon and he heard a song. Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Jai Ram, Sri Ram, Jai Jai Ram. He heard this, was singing and singing, and he thought, do I hear properly? Is this a hallucination? So he jumped into the palace. Then the demon saw someone was intruding. He jumped up with fear in his face. He jumped before the altar where there was a murti of Ram, ready to defend it with his very life force. Hanuman asked, who are you? Don't worry, I also like Ram. The demon was relieved.
I thought you were the polis of my brother Ravan.
I am Vibhishan, the brother of Ravan. At the beginning of creation, my brother wanted to become the most powerful of demons. But I prayed for devotion to Ram. Now I'm worshipping Ram every day. Who are you?
Hanuman was in bliss. And without any hesitation, he revealed his identity. Yasam Hanuman!
Hanuman!
Please accept my most humble obeisances. You are the Ram Duta Hanuman?
That's how I'm called, said Hanuman, the messenger of Lord Ram.
Vibhishan was happy. He embraced him. He asked Hanuman to sit with him. And he talked with Hanuman and asked him so many questions about Ram. Then finally he said, I am worshipping Lord Ram for so long, but he has not revealed himself. You are worshipping also Ram, but every day you can see Ram. What is your secret, please?
Vibhishan continued, I am chanting the name of Ram, but he has not appeared before me. But he is always together with you. What is your secret?
Hanuman answered this question. He said, it's not enough to just chant the name. You have to also do something which is useful for the mission of the Lord.
Vibhishan said, thank you. A little later, means a few months later, he was called by his brother Ravan. Ravan said, Vibhishan, it's time to discuss now strategy. This human being, Ram, is constructing a bridge to invade Lanka. What strategy should we adopt?
Vibhishan said, there's only one strategy, O brother.
What is the strategy?
I trust you, said Ravan.
Give back Sita. Never! Never!
Oops, this is a little loud.
I cannot depart from Sita.
If you don't give back Sita, said Vibhishan, you will be lost. It's unharmic to steal another person's wife. Ram will come and he will kill you.
Ravan said, you fool. You fool. You terrible fool.
He's a human being.
Vibhishan, who has passed stool into your intelligence? You should be supporting me. Vibhishan, you know that I will give you all of Lanka, but now you are siding with my enemy, with a mere human being. Do you want to give up an island of gold just for some sentimental feelings for a human being?
Vibhishan, don't talk against my interest.
Vibhishan said, brother, please stop. I will leave you on this day if you do not return Sita.
Ravan said, brother, you are so foolish that you are no longer my brother.
This is the end of our relationship. Get out of the palace immediately.
Vibhishan said, Dovijanya.
So this is he gave up a whole kingdom of gold, and yet he got so much. Many times devotees are challenged by this voice inside their hearts. The voice tells them that if you surrender to Krishna, you will be the loser. Your material future will not be very prosperous. Vibhisan went with two of his advisors over the ocean by the demon airways. He was flying over the, you know, he could float. And approached the camp of Rama. Rama was there and spoke about the invasion of Lanka with his generals. All of a sudden, his generals said, three demons are coming. Should we attack them? Ram said, no, let us see what they wish. This moment, Vibhisan landed. The Vanaras, the monkey soldiers, jumping up and down and fleeing in all directions. He had pointed ears, fangs, had dark skin. He was very powerful, very big. I heard Vibhisan is as big as one of those trees which scratches the sky. Hanuman said, went to Vibhisan and said to Ram, this is Vibhisan, the brother of Ravana. It smiled. Ram said, let him come. But all the other monkey soldiers who didn't know said, we must kill him. He's the brother of the evil demon. Then Rama spoke his very, very famous verse, which I would like to repeat here. Satkrit eva prapanayam, that anyone who surrenders to me, even if he comes from a demoniac background, and says, my dear Lord, from this day on, I am yours. I will accept such a person, and I will give him the necessary courage which he needs to surrender to me. This is a very nice instruction of, you know, of being called a fool. Vibhisan was called like this by his brother, yet he surrendered to Ram, and Ram said, I accept you and give you the courage. He even said, if Ravana would now stand before the tent and would like to be accepted by me as a surrendered soul, I would forgive him and accept him as my devotee. Hare Krishna. Ravana did do that. So, in this way, I have highlighted the moralist and the brother. There are many other voices which sometimes arise in us. Either they come from outside, or they come from inside of us. But anyone who surrenders to Lord Krishna, ignoring these voices, and even preaching to the voices, he will find in his life some great treasures. Madhavendra Puri has spoken these objections to us so that we become strong in our spiritual life. Madhavendra Puri is a great, great devotee of Lord Krishna who gives an example to us of undisturbed service to the Lord of his heart. I think you all know how Madhavendra Puri was once making a Govardhan Parikrama around Giriraj, and then when he had finished his parikrama, he went to the beautiful Govinda Kund to chant in great inner agitation
the mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. His mind became more and more agitated. Where are you, O Krishna? I have come to your land, Vrindavan. Please reveal yourself. As he was in such an eager mood, a little boy came to him and said, I've brought some milk for you. I saw you are hungry. Maravendra Puri looked at the boy and was fascinated. The boy said, I come this evening to collect the empty milk pot. Now drink the milk which I've brought for you. I've something to do. And he went away. Maravendra Puri continued to chant, but thought of the boy and waited eagerly for the evening to arrive where the boy would come and take the empty pot of milk. He had drunk the milk and he had become totally excited and intoxicated and had laughed and cried at the same time to drink this ecstasy milk. Finally, when the boy did not come to collect his milk pot, Maravendra Puri stayed up the whole night and chanted and chanted until in the early morning hours he had a vision, an appearance. The same boy came and said to him, Maravendra, I am here at Govardhan for a long, long time. When the Muslims came to conquer this area, my priest was so afraid that he hit me. He thought they would find me and destroy me. Please find me. My dear devotees, we were playing this last year with puppets at the exact same spot at Govindakund. The puppet player, Burijan Prabhu, who was Maravendra Puri, took the Maravendra Puri puppet and spoke in the voice of Maravendra Puri. Who are you? I'm Govinda, the lord of this area. Please, tomorrow when you wake up, go with the Brajavasis to this bush which I'm showing you, and find me, and then install me and worship me every day. Maravendra Puri could not wait until the night was over. Finally, the morning came, and he went into the next village, Anyor, and he said, the Lord is here, the Lord is here. So Burijan Prabhu was saying this, the Lord is here, the Lord is here, and he said to all the devotees who were there, this was as many as are here, let us find the Lord. And we all, you know, I was a little skeptical. I thought this is for young children. I have not much appreciation for puppet shows. I like puppet bhajans more. But all of a sudden, as all the devotees started to go behind the Maravendra Puri, I found myself pulled into the action in the holy dharm, and I went with them, and yes, I became excited. The Lord is here. The Lord is here. At this moment, the devotees arrived at some bush, and they started to work at the gravel and the bushes and so on, and cleared it. And yes, there was a wonderful deity of Govinda, and the Brijbasis had also followed us. They developed transcendental symptoms of ecstasy. Govinda, Govinda, iha stane, mera stane. Means Govinda is at this place. That's my place. And so we took this deity and worshipped him at Giriraj. And my dear devotees, at that moment, we were no longer Westerners. We were no longer sweating. We were no longer having problems with diarrhea. We were in Govinda Kund, participating in the worship of Lord Govinda. The whole Braj scene magically
transformed itself. The cows came, 50 or so cows, and assembled around the deities, and they wouldn't leave. The cowherd boys sat. Two Brijbasis took up positions next to the deity in case some monkeys would come. And the whole thing transformed into the wonder that is Braj, a place where you can still meet the Lord, at least in your Krishna consciousness, in the realm of consciousness. So we felt brought back to Madhavendra Puri, this great soul who was finding Lord Krishna. Madhavendra Puri's prayers are very, very useful for us. And I would request you who find interest in this prayer to find it. It's in the second canto, chapter 4, text 3 to 4. It's a very, very valuable service, a prayer. In this list of prayer, there is a prayer from Rupa Goswami, which expresses the same mood as we have learned in here, that is single-minded devotion. Now, there is this verse, O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. If you wish to become successful in Krishna consciousness, you have to learn the lesson of the Chataka bird. The Chataka bird is the whole year without water. I don't know how they biologically do this, because it can only drink water from the cloud. So when the rain clouds comes, the Chataka bird begins to fly towards the bird, towards the rain cloud, and it makes a bird sound, Jaldi, Jaldi. It means, give me water, please. And it flies right into the thunderstorm. You know, there is a flash, and it goes up, pew, pew, Jaldi, Jaldi, give me water. And it flies into the cloud and drinks the water. A wonderful bird. So a devotee has to learn this in the world. Sometimes as he approaches the Lord, there will be doubts, there will be thunderstorms in his life, there will be even a frustration of his desires. But the devotee should not become diverted from his goal. In fact, it may be the test of Lord Krishna to throw a thunderbolt in your direction. Jung! Jung! It's almost like in a movie. Nevertheless, go for the water that of Krishna's mercy. In Krishna consciousness, two things are important, and the Chataka bird teaches us the two things. One is your own endeavor to approach the Lord, and the second is the mercy of the Lord who uplifts you. Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita seems to give a proportion between these two things. He says, in whatever way, in what degree someone surrenders unto me, I reward the devotee accordingly. So it seems there is the same proportion of your surrender, or let me say, Krishna reveals himself in the same degree as your surrender is strong. But this is an illusion. Krishna sees even a little endeavor, a little step towards him, and he gives much, much more. He gives us the wind into our sails so that our boat can go over the ocean of material existence to him. Krishna sends us the devotees when he sees
that we become serious in our Krishna consciousness and brings us to his lotus feet. Krishna gives, in other words, much, much more support than we surrender to him. The only thing which is required is that you remain fixed. Fixed at Krishna. That's not so easy. You can train yourself to become more fixed in Krishna when you chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The degree in which you concentrate during your japa is equivalent with the degree in which you are fixed on Lord Krishna. Your test ground for fixation or absorption in Krishna's consciousness is really your japa, your chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If you learn to become fixed there, you will be fixed in all the other fields of your devotional service, even when it comes to the point where you are challenged by the moralist, the philosopher, the ritualist, the brother, the relative, and whatever. Yes. So I'm very, very happy to be today here. I hope I could say something which is inspiring to all of you and hopefully helpful. It was for me really, it still is, just very, very wonderful to be here amongst all of you. I'm on my way. Tomorrow I have to be in Munich, because the day after tomorrow, the Saturday, it's our first Ratha Yatra in Munich. And when Madana Manohara and Madhava Priya and Danya and Andre invited me so lovingly, I decided, yes, I will make a stopover in the forest. I thought that's more pleasing than to be in the temple, because everything is so hot these days. But here's a nice fresh breeze now, and we are enlivened in being in the forest. I would really request to you, all of you, to take something out of this forest. A little present from Madhavendra Puri, which is this fixation on Krishna. A little while ago, a devotee asked me, how can I make a relationship to Krishna? How can I improve my relationship to Krishna? Which I believe is something which all of us desire to do in their lives. And I remembered that I had thought very deeply about why in the kami world the relationships which people make are always breaking. And I met one bhakta, one psychologist who talked with me about this. He said that 50% of the relationships break now. Certainly no one of us would like his relationship to break with Krishna. In fact, we want the opposite. We want that it becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. And do you know, when I would like to give you it's important if you make your relationship with Krishna, that first step is you have to get to know him a little bit. You have to gather informations about him from those who have what is called Vidusha Pradyaksha, that is a spiritual perception of Krishna, like Rupa Goswami, who describes Krishna and his leelas and his qualities, how Krishna is in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Nectar of Devotion. So first you get to know him, then there is a time when your faith is not yet so strong, and you doubt also Krishna. You is he really God? I mean, and is surrender to him really good? As your shraddha comes to the nishtha, the fixed a little bit more fixed, not yet nishta, but what you should do is you should serve Krishna, because by serving Krishna, that's the most legitimate and possible relationship or rasa which we can have as people of this world. If we think of parental rasa or friendship rasa, that may not be so feasible unless we have information of our spiritual identity. But dasya rasa, or the service rasa, is the basis of all other relationships to Krishna. And you can actually practice this in this world. You can do what you have to do according to Jiva Goswami is you have to say, today I will do a certain activity for the pleasure of Krishna. This is called service. You do something which you just fix to Krishna. And then your relationship, as you hear more about Krishna, becomes fixed. See, nowadays a young man wants to the association of a woman very much. But usually what they do is they make an approach and immediately they wish to become intimate. If you want to form a proper relationship in this world to a woman, you have to approach the woman, or the woman to the man, you have to approach the other person. Then the second step is you have to get to know something about him or her. And then the third step is you should ask the question, does this really work? Could this be a relationship? You should even doubt it. And then you do something together. You maybe do something to please the person. And then only you can become intimate. If immediately the intimacy is there, without knowing the person, then after being intimate or close, let us say close, then the doubts come, and then the doubts are hurting the relationship. Oh, don't you love me any longer? You are now thinking, if I could be together with you. You have to cultivate a relationship, and you cannot jump over any station in the cultivation of a relationship. And modern men doesn't know this any longer, and therefore their relationship breaks. Now the same principle that is to cultivate a relationship is true in relationship to Krishna. First thing is you approach Krishna. Then the second is you really have to get to know a little bit about Krishna. The third thing is you should allow serious questions. How is this with Krishna? How is that with Krishna? Then you should please Krishna, serve Krishna. And then you will all of a sudden see that Krishna is like a person of your life. He lives with you. He is there in your life. If you have not gone through these steps, then your relationship with Krishna will be either in imagination or just something which is not there. Hare Krishna. So this is all what I had to say today. I hope it was inspiring, and I hope I was not too tiring for you. It was an intense day and time, but a nice time. We were staying in Zagreb, and we were looking at the beauty of Goni Thai and refreshing our senses. Would like to sing a little bit, or let me see. Yes, I would like to sing a little bit with you. Hare Krishna. Oh yeah, and we should do a little procession through the garden. Because this garden is actually composed of servants of Krishna. Did you know this? These trees and tikvas and whatever is here, they are actually servants of Krishna. They have feeding the Lubyana temple for a long time. So we want to bless all the plants today by making one procession through the garden. Is this all right? But please be careful to not to respect the bodies of the trees. Don't run into them.